From the automotive capital of the world, welcome to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
When I come up to a stop, if I use a brake and stop, then when I let off the brake to go, it jerks.
Problems with your car, truck, motorcycle, minivan, or RV? The solution is just a phone call away. 1-800-859-0957. That's 1-800-859-0957.
I put new front rotors, and when I turn left or right with my foot on the brake, I get a pulsation of the ABS.
And remember, The Car Show is designed for everyone, whether you do your own work, take your car to the dealership, or to the independent service center of your choice.
When it's cold and I start to move, it like the transmission slips and then it catches. What's the answer for that, guys?
Your calls and more when The Car Show returns.
Coolant leaks can be tricky as the cause can be any number of problems. K-Seal is a one-step permanent multi-purpose system for coolant leak repair. We recently sat down with Mike Schlupp, Managing Director of K-Seal International. Mike talked about what it means to see white smoke coming out of your exhaust.
So this is actually steam condensing as it gets burned off by the engine. You may also see blue smoke, but for a different reason. Either way, it's likely your car is suffering from head gasket failure, which may ultimately cause damage to key components like the catalytic converter, or could even overheat the engine. Now, we would recommend K-Seal Ultimate. It offers 33% more sealing power than original K-Seal. Make sure the engine is cold to avoid blowback with the cap off. Add K-Seal to the cooling system, either at the radiator or expansion tank cap opening, and then reinstall the cap and run the engine until warm.
You can find more 60-second problem solvers at kseal.com. And remember what we tell you, you don't just seal it, you K-Seal it.
Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It is. Remember, every Thursday morning, Dan and I are live here in the studio to take your calls at 866-365-7746. That's 10 a.m. Eastern. For all you lovely people in Grass Valley that I know you're listening, we have a big fan base, Dan, in Grass Valley, California. They love us there. I'm planning on visiting one day.
Well, you should. It sounds like a nice place, Grass Valley. So.
It does. And all the people that call us from there are always very nice. It's just one of those, like, Grass Valley. We have a big I feel like if I went to Grass Valley and I just walked into, like, the local diner and went, "Hi, I'm Brian from the Car Show," that people would cheer. I would be welcomed as a, you know, and I know that's not true because that doesn't happen to me anywhere.
Well, you know what it comes down to, of course, you know, with radio, everybody knows your face.
Is that correct? Exactly. And I said that once to my wife. I said, I feel like if I went in, I would say, "I'm Brian from the Car Show." People would say this. And my wife said, "No, they would probably say, oh, do you know Dan?" And I went, "Yeah, that's probably what would happen." Yes, I know Dan. Yes, I do. Yes, he's just as smart as you think he is.
Yeah.
Want to remind people really quickly here that we're brought to you in part by Gunk. Whether you're fixing up your ride or cleaning up the shop, grab the cleaner that's tougher than tough. Gunk. It's available to your favorite auto parts, big box, or home center stores. And we do love Gunk. What's been going on in the shop, Dan?
Well, you know, it's been a while since we spoke about any EVs at all.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, a lot of less moving parts, but there still is maintenance that needs to be performed on these vehicles. And a good example of that, and, you know, it's going to be dependent on region. Of course, we're in the area, and, you know, we'll make it down to the point that, you know, our area, the different municipalities like to salt the earth,
yes,
you know, for de-icing. And of course, what happens at that time, especially with the EVs, with regenerative braking, in mm-hmm. other words, the electric motors that drive the vehicle will operate backwards and turn into generators. And of course, at that point, that's what slows down the vehicle. But in the meantime, if you're an easy driver and never apply the brakes, what can happen is that the brake pad itself can seize into that bracket. And in fact, what happens too, because of not having the braking pressure and the friction on the rotor, the rotors will become pitted. So what I had in the shop was a 2020 Tesla, and it had 52,000 miles on it. And of course, it lived in this region. It was a daily driver for the customer. And he was complaining about the fact that there was a noise now. Well, boy, after removing all the wheels off the vehicle and inspecting the brakes, everything was corroded.
Oh, wow.
To the point of, how can I say this?
Politely?
Well, I'm trying to think to no return. So in other words, what it came down to is that it did need brake rotors and it did need brake pads. So what had to be done at this point, now don't get me wrong, everything was still there. There was hardly anywhere, but the rotors were pitted. So even more of a reason that if you have an EV, take it into your shop. And if you have low miles, I don't care if the vehicle is only a couple years old and you live in this salted area during the de-icing times, have them take everything apart and have them redo and relook at the caliper mounting brackets and the stainless steel abutment clips. And always, in this case, they'll use and always use a CRC. They make it's called a Siloramic, and it's a ceramic fortified brake system grease. And people will say, what do you use grease on brakes for? Well, this is on the actual sliding points of the brake pads and whatever. And this is a very high temp range. It will not wash off. In fact, the heat range is up to about 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And by doing this, and even if it's every other couple years, have it taken apart and inspected. Not much to do it. They'll just pull the caliper up and make sure these pads move. It is very critical, because when it comes down to the point that you have to do some emergency braking, you may not stop, because again, these electric vehicles work on a regenerative braking system. In other words, when you take your foot off the accelerator, it runs backwards and it turns these motors into a generator, and that's what slows the vehicle down.
Okay.
So that's critical about the brakes. And again, have them look at it. You know, you may have to spend a little bit of money, but we're talking safety here. Yeah. And, you know, back to the EV too, you know, even though, you know, we have the corrosion risk on the brakes, we also got to think about the cooling systems because they rely on a complex thermal system where they can regulate the high voltage of a battery. Well, guess what? This battery and these modules are being cooled by the cooling system. So what happens is, you know, if it's setting too long or if the coolant settles, all this attracts moisture. And then, of course, what can happen is that we can have leaks through dried out seals. So corrosion in the pump and control valve. That's why it's also important, even though it has high life, high mileage coolant and antifreeze, not a bad idea at that time to have your cooling system serviced, especially on an EV, mainly because of one simple thing, the corrosion that forms. And always you'll find out that Peak will offer a coolant for your EV that's ready to go. Again, very critical.
Perfect.
In the shop.
I've got a couple of questions for you, but we'll do those on the other side of the break. We are The Car Show. This vehicle maintenance spotlight is brought to you by Hotshot Secret. A customer brought in her 2022 Chevy Tahoe Duramax diesel just for an oil change, but she also asked about preparing her vehicle for the cold weather ahead. Well, after underscoring the importance of maintaining tire pressure, we replaced her wiper blades and offered one more suggestion: using EDT plus winter defense from Hotshot Secret with every fill-up when the temperature is below 30 degrees. The vehicle's primarily used for shorter trips, so it's prone to hard cold starts, moisture buildup in the fuel, and loss of power if the fuel gels. EDT plus winter defense EDT Plus Winter Defense prevents gelling of number two diesel during deep freezes. It boosts cetane for faster ignition and smoother cold starts, and improves lubricity for the high-pressure injection system, critical on modern Duramax engines. It also helps disperse water to prevent ice crystals from forming in the fuel filter. Hotshot Secret offers problem-specific solutions that are powered by science. Available nationwide at truck stops, farm and automotive stores, Amazon, and online at hotshotsecret.com. Don't let your vehicle fail emissions. Be proactive and use CRC G2P. CRC Guaranteed to Pass Emissions System Cleaner features an advanced detergent formula that removes harmful deposits from fuel system components, including injectors, intake valves, combustion chambers, and more. It actually increases acceleration response time. Guaranteed to Pass will reduce emissions like carbon monoxide, hydrocarbons, and nitrogen oxide. It will also clear emissions-related check engine light codes and even improve your fuel economy. Drive to crcg2p.com for more information. Safe driving at night is critical, and it starts with your headlights. The sooner you're able to see an object in the road, the quicker you'll be able to react. Peak Power Vision Lighting features high-performance tungsten filaments, customized gas mixtures, and a proprietary optical coating. Peak's Power Vision Window increases light output to produce their best nighttime illumination yet. Drive to peakauto.com for more information. It's available at amazon.com/PEAKK.
The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
I want to remind everybody that we're brought to you in part by Dorman Products and their OEFIX electronic power steering rack for the Dodge Ram 1500. Featuring improvements like built-in surge protection and smart shutoff, Dorman's electronic power steering rack assembly is superior to the OE, ensuring long service life and reliable performance. You can learn more about that at DormanProducts.com. Dan, we were just talking about EVs. And the regenerative braking and brake maintenance. Here's my question for you. I know on my car, on an ICE vehicle, not an EV, how often I should look at brakes and stuff. Should I be checking my brakes on an EV more often? Should I be getting them inspected at least more often than normal?
Well, think about it. We talked about regenerative braking. In other words, the motor that powers an EV. Actually, when you take your foot off the accelerator, it runs backwards.
Right.
And when it runs backwards, it turns into a generator. And the generator is going to put a drag on the system. So that's actually slowing down the vehicle. Unless you get into an emergency stopping situation, mm-hmm. you really don't use the hydraulic brakes that often. So, depending on your region, where we live, they use salt for de-icing. Okay, which is bad. And that gives it an opportunity for this salt and this corrosion to form because the brake pads they're not being used like the way they should be used. So if you live in that salted area, I would recommend every other year to have the tires taken off and take the calipers, pull them back, and the service technician then at that point will remove or see if the brake pads themselves are seizing. If there's any dragging in that caliper mounting bracket, mm-hmm. It has to be taken apart. Okay. Taken apart to the point where, the hardware should be replaced and go through it. It's a safety thing because of the fact that the regenerative braking, the kinetic energy is what, even though the brakes are going to last longer, in fact, you could go 100,000 miles on a lot of these brake pads, but that's only in the right conditions.
Yeah.
So again, salty, wet climates, the calipers can seize. And of course that's, you got to make it a periodic cleaning and lubrication is vital. And I'll mention it again with CRC.
Yeah.
Probably they have the best brake system grease out there because it's ceramic fortified, and again, high temperature takes a lot to wash it off, and it's there to prevent that corrosion. But again, too, the service technician knows that if he pulls off a caliper mounting bracket and he sees rust, all of that will be cleaned off and ground. It'll be painted, and then at that point, the grease is used both on top and under that mounting bracket to prevent that corrosion from actually forming again. So important, you know, the braking part, but same thing, you know, we always forget too that an EV still has a 12 volt battery,
right?
You know, that's only going to last you about every 3 to 5 years. So what you don't want to get into is one of these times you're going to use your keyless entry remote and you can't get in because that battery, you know, is dead. So yeah, it's something, think about it a little bit every 3 to 5 years. And when we talk about batteries like that, we always want to, even with your EV, go to autobatteries.com and it's going to show whether your EV has a lead acid battery or it's going to be an AGM style battery, a glass mat battery, critical. Again, we'll hit a little bit on cooling systems with the EV.
Yeah.
The cooling system, you know, there's a inverter there that has to be cooled by the cooling system. So even though our coolant can last 5 years or 150,000 miles, it's even more critical on the EV.
Yeah.
And always, you know, we use Peak products, Peak's coolant and antifreeze. That's going to be the proper color for the EV you have. You know, if you want this thing to last, let's service all of these areas, you know, the cooling system, the brakes, and it's more of a vital, we should make it a periodic cleaning and lubrication. Everything is vital because, and you know, we'll call it from underuse, underuse to the brake on the brakes, but then it's going to be overuse on the cooling system because of the amount of heat that's generated from the inverter and in within the cooling system. And what you don't want it to do is you don't want the important additives that are in the coolant to dissipate and break down. And what it's going to do then is dry out seals within the cooling system, all the vital components on your EV.
All right. So if I have an EV and I'm here in Southeast Michigan where we are, and there's salt in the roads like crazy when it gets icy and snowy, I have my EV. Can I, and I don't know if this is even a thing, running it through a car wash, would that help dissipate that salt and keep that corrosion from building up?
Well, it does.
Or is it so contained?
It will, but keep in mind all your brakes, whether it's an EV or on a regular vehicle, you still have splash shields there, but it doesn't really get, you know, there is a thing where you can get an undercarriage wash that will help. But
it's not the same as pulling it apart.
Physically, physically inspected. And even talking about tires, you know, an EV is going to weigh about, you know, 25, 30% more than a standard gasoline vehicle. So, you know, you want to make sure that when you replace tires, you want EV specific tires. And you also want to make sure that you rotation is very critical on these vehicles, especially if you want, you know, the cost of the tires and alignments. I mean, the weight, there's more to it than what people think. They think, boy, this is going to be simple. All I have to do is take it somewhere and plug it in. Now, my son lives in Phoenix, and he has the ability where he works, he's in the medical field, that he charges his vehicle there, and he just brags about it all the time. But, you know, same thing, even though he's charging it, he forgot about his 12-volt battery in that vehicle.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he tries to be a little bit too mechanical at times.
Yeah.
But you got to keep up on maintenance.
Yeah, yeah. And it's easy to forget. And a lot of people do think that with an EV, oh, well, I don't have to get gas, I don't have to change my oil, so blah, I'm done. And you're right, there's more to it than you think, and it's different than what you think. Like, I would have never thought about the brakes becoming corroded to the point where they're just ruined, because on my vehicle, that's never going to happen, because the friction is going to keep that corrosion sort of at bay.
Well, that's on the rotor, the pitting from the rotors, but it still doesn't stop the brake pads from getting corrosion around them where they're seizing. And, you know, even more, you know, talking about the batteries, keep in mind that a lot of the EVs, you should do a periodic, you know, what they call a health check, which is maybe every 12 to 24 months. And there's updates that are out there that are from the manufacturers, and to get the peak performance that you need, you know, you want everything to last, you know, even though there may be a great warranty on the high voltage battery that you have within the vehicle. Don't forget about this. I mean, and that's where you buyer beware when you are looking for an EV and you find something that's 4 or 5 years old. even though it's been inspected. I've seen so many times that you're buying an inspected vehicle where the consumer, after purchasing this, after a while finds out that he has to put thousands of dollars in the vehicle for repairs.
Yep. We had there's a guy that works here that just leased a new EV because of the incentives that just had gone away. And he got an EV because he got a really good deal on it. And then it wouldn't charge. Within 2 weeks, it would only take like a 40% charge because it needed a software update.
Yes.
And for some reason, his car wasn't downloading the software update, you know, through the air. So he had to take it in, and it was like he had to have it towed to the dealership so that they could plug in the stuff. So there's a lot more stuff going on in there than most people think. Like I would have never thought about a software update in my car, you know, but it wouldn't let him charge. He said I could get to 40%, but I got it home. That was about it. And I was like, well, that's really strange. It's like running out of gas.
Yeah. So, you know, make sure you do your periodic inspections on your electric vehicle.
Right. And if you want one, maybe talk to people that have owned them to just find out what they've learned from their mistakes.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Remember, you can email us. It's thecarshowdetroit@gmail.com. Today's OE fix from Dorman, the electronic power steering rack. The electronic power steering rack on certain Dodge Ram 1500 trucks are a common failure item. The steering can become very heavy or stiff, especially at low speeds or while parking. Unlike gradual failure with hydraulic systems, EPS usually fails abruptly when the motor or electronics stop working. You won't lose steering completely, but the steering effort increases dramatically, which can be dangerous at low speeds or during emergency maneuvers. Dorman's electronic power steering rack is engineered with a number of advantages over OE. It features built-in surge protection and a smart shutoff, which prevents electrical damage. A no-clean solder paste means more reliable electronics, while a better design layout makes for cooler running electronics and smooth, stable performance under all conditions. The Dorman electronic power steering rack also features a UV-40 coating that seals against moisture, salt spray, road chemicals, and corrosion. With applications for select vehicles, you can find the Dorman OE Fix electronic power steering rack at most automotive retailers, both in-store and online. And you can learn more at DormanProducts.com.
Show continues with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It does. Remember, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, Dan and I are waiting here live for your call at 866-365-7746. Primed, ready to go. All we need is you, as they say. I want to remind everybody that we are brought to you in part by Hotshot Secret and their Stiction Eliminator Oil Treatment. It's engineered to remove the stiction sludge and varnish. Say that three times quickly. Created from burnt oil, while it also lubricates your system. You can drive to hotshotsecret.com for more information about Stiction Eliminator. And I have to tell you, Dan, I just added Stiction Eliminator to my shopping list because I just used the last of my Stiction Eliminator in my car Thursday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you got to have it on hand. Well, now I know what to get you for Christmas.
For those who have Stiction, it's a great stocking stuffer. I got an email here from a man. His wife drives an 08 Hyundai Elantra about 80,000 miles. He said she only drives it to work, so it's like a 3-mile commute total each day. He goes, about a month and a half ago, his 16-year-old son asked if he could change the oil, and he let him. He said, now, he rarely drives this car, but he took it for errands one day, and the oil light came on when he braked. He checked. There's no oil, he said, or very little in the car. Dipstick was dry. The drain plug is in place, but it was dry. And they said there's no other signs of leaking, no puddles in the driveway, anything like that. He said the car's never burned oil, and I've seen no evidence that it is currently burning oil. He said his son swears he remembers refilling the oil when he changed it, but he's thinking the best explanation is that he probably just forgot. And he said it's just thanks to the small amount of driving his wife does that he thinks the engine wasn't damaged. He wants to know, he goes, am I thinking this through correctly, or could a full reservoir of oil have burned off in less than 2 months with absolutely no smoke?
Well, you know, let's go the other way. Let's say, yes, that is possible. Mm-hmm. 2008 with 80,000 miles is not a lot of miles, but it also tells me there's a good possibility that he might have not been changing oil frequently enough in the vehicle. Okay. So what can happen because of lack of service and oil changes, the lower ring, the oil ring, could actually seize. And when it seizes, what it's not doing is it's scraping it down to the bottom, not scraping the oil down. And of course, you'll consume oil and you won't see any smoke because the catalytic converter acts like a little incinerator. So what he needs to do at this time, he's going to have a baseline. Could the son or his teenager,
16-year-old,
put the wrong amount in? Yes, very possible. Oh, yeah. Could he use the wrong viscosity of oil? Yes, that's a possibility too. So this is what I'll do right now. Let's make a good what he should do to get a baseline. So he needs to start off. Okay. We don't know where he's at and how many miles are on the oil change now, but let's start off to the point. Let's start over again. It really scares me. Let's make sure that the right viscosity was used. And instead of using, we'll say for an example, in this case, it should hold 5 quarts of oil. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go a step beyond that. We're gonna go and use Hot Shot Secret. It's called a tick fix.
Oh yeah.
Even though we know the engine's not ticking, what it is, it's both. It helps the lifters, and like I stated earlier, it scares me to the point that there was no oil in it. This will prevent future problems with the lifters, and it also has, you know, it's a lifter restorer, but it also has an FR3, the nano lubricant protection, especially if it was ran low on oil. So he's going to use, instead of a quart of oil, if it holds five, he's going to use a quart container of the Hot Shot Secret, the Tick Fix and Protector, in place of that oil. And then he's going to fill the rest up. Then he's going to drive the vehicle, or she's going to drive the vehicle, his wife, and check the oil weekly, and always check it in the morning before you even start the vehicle. Let's get a baseline and see if it is using oil. And this may go on for quite a while since she doesn't drive it that often.
Yeah.
But we'll say, for an example, in a month, she's only putting on 200 or 300 miles. And all of a sudden you notice that it's using oil. Then I would go a step further. He's already got the tick fix in it with the nano protectant. He may want to go and look at the positive crankcase ventilation system because of the not often driven and maybe lack of oil changes. It can consume oil. It could be also pulling oil through the positive crankcase ventilation system. So you want to look at the PC valve. We want to make sure that that system is operational. And what a positive crankcase ventilation system does, it pulls out the humidity and also the oil vapors, and it recirculates it back in the engine. But if it's plugged up, what it can do is it can actually consume oil. So the steps are, and we'll rehash it again.
Yeah.
Change the oil, use Hot Shot Secret, the tick fix and the protectant. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's going to take the place of 1 quart of oil, and he's going to have a baseline. We're going to check it weekly, preferably in the morning before she even goes anywhere for her driving. And record it and see if it's consuming oil. And if he notices after that month or 2 months it is consuming it, then we go to the, you know, look at the positive crankcase ventilation system. But you need to have a baseline and not wait for that light to turn on because, you know, in the past, Brian, we're old enough, they used to be called idiot lights.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why they call them, it's just a warning to let you know you're going to have engine failure. It's already, it's the damage is done. It's over with. But luckily, if he doesn't, you know, hear anything going on or any rattling, that's even more of a reason to use the Hot Shot Secret in the engine along with that oil change.
Now, it says she only drives this about 3 miles total each day. Would you drive it a little more?
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. The engine really isn't running long enough to get rid of all the contaminants. And in fact, you know, we used to operate vehicle dynos, and we would not even do any testing or anything on the vehicle until it had like in reality, 15 miles of driving on the expressway pulls out all the humidity, pulls out all the, you know, the condensation, and it'll get everything working where it's emulsified, where the oil is doing its job and it can pull it through the oil filter. So, you know, even though his 16-year-old could have forgot about putting the oil in, there's also that possibility that it is consuming oil because of how it was serviced. And again, you know, go back on your maintenance records. If it shows, you know, that he changed oil once a year, I'll guarantee you it is consuming oil because that on a lot of the, they only use a 2 millimeter oil ring to scrape that oil down on the imports. And all it has to do is get seized, you know, into the piston lands, the groove. And when it does that, the ring doesn't have tension. And, you know, again, using the, you know, the chemistry from the Hot Shot Secret and, you know, this way it's going to protect the engine with the nano lubricant. And it also has in that, you know, carbon technology that's going to help reduce that wear and hopefully break that piston ring free.
Okay.
If that's the case, I'm just giving you all kinds of scenarios what can happen. And again, with a lot of, that's why you and I, Brian, we always recommend, you know, give us more information that's needed. I know, so we can always condense down the email, and also again, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, you can leave that voicemail to us.
Absolutely.
And, better than that, call us.
Right.
That way we have all that information to answer your question.
Yeah. And when they email, I always shoot an email back going, hey, would you like us to call you? We can call you. You shoot us an email and going, hey, I'm real busy, I'm running errands, but I'd love to talk. Can you call me? Happy to call you. We have no problem doing that.
Yes.
Yeah, it is easier. I'm wondering, since the 16-year-old son is being maybe accused here of doing this, and I've been a 16-year-old, so I know how this works. I'm going to go out on a limb and go, he probably forgot to add the oil, or he added the cheapest oil he could find. So probably the wrong oil. I'm wondering if maybe we hand him the car for a month or two, let him do a lot of errand driving in the car. So it gets more than 3 miles total each day. It gets a little more mileage on it to do that. And let mom take his car, you know, for a little while.
Well, that's if he has a driver's license.
Oh, he's 16. Well, that's true. Yeah. A lot of 16-year-olds now don't get a driver's license.
No, that's old.
See, I'm old enough. I remember when I was told about the idiot light, when the first one came on, and was like, oh, what's that? And my dad said, that's an idiot light. And I said, well, what does that mean? He goes, it means check the engine, idiot. That's why they call it that. He goes, yes. So I'm a little older. I forget that young kids don't always have a driver's license.
Brian, and I'll summarize it. I know we got to go.
Yeah.
But being in this industry, and when I see a low mileage vehicle that's, 15, 20 years old, I know hardly changed oil. They didn't change oil.
Yeah, probably not often enough because they didn't think they needed to. They didn't think about it. Yeah,
that's right.
See, something else I've learned from you, Dan. I'm being wise in my old age.
You'll get another star on your collar.
Safe driving at night is critical, and it starts with your headlights. The sooner you're able to see an object in the road, the quicker you'll be able to react. Peak Power Vision Lighting features high-performance tungsten filaments, customized gas mixtures, and a proprietary optical coating. Peak's Power Vision window increases light output to produce their best nighttime illumination yet. Drive to peakauto.com for more information. It's available at amazon.com/PEAK. Don't let your vehicle fail emissions. Be proactive and use CRC G2P. CRC Guaranteed to Pass Emissions System Cleaner features an advanced detergent formula that removes harmful deposits from fuel system components, including injectors, intake valves, combustion chambers, and more. It actually increases acceleration response time. Guaranteed to Pass will reduce emissions like carbon monoxide, hydrocarbons, and nitrogen oxide. It will also clear emissions-related check engine light codes and even improve your fuel economy. Drive to crcg2p.com for more information.
And now back to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
I want to remind everyone that we are brought to you in part by Optima Batteries and their complete line of chargers and maintainers, giving users the opportunity to revive deeply discharged units and provide enhanced performance. You can learn more about those at OptimaBatteries.com. I've got an interesting email here, Dan, you and I have talked about. This guy has a 2003 Hyundai Sonata V6, 140,000 miles on it. Said it stalled out and wouldn't accelerate past 20 miles an hour. He took it to a shop. He says, I took it to a shop, and the guy, quote, tightened my timing belt and put a few new coils in it. Says, now it idles pretty rough. He thinks it's misfiring because the RPM meter goes up and down, and the car shakes when it's in idle. He says he doesn't know much about cars, and he's learning to work on them himself. So he's trying to fix this problem himself. He's hoping you can give him a pointer and maybe narrow this down to one problem, and he has not had a check engine light come on for this at all.
Oh boy. You know, I'll tell you what, tightening. Yes. Can you adjust the tension on the timing belt?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can, because it has a tensioner pulley. But the problem with that is if we have a stretched belt, sometimes the timing marks will not align. Well, so here's the thing. It's a precision job, okay? And the marks, if the marks are not on, there's a chance that the belt can break sooner because you retensioned it. And if the belt breaks, that is what we call an interference engine. In other words, if that belt breaks, it bends all the valves. Guess what? Ooh. After that, you need an engine. So here's the thing. It's an older vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
The manufacturer recommends that you change that belt every 60 to 100,000 miles.
Oh, wow.
I got a feeling that there's a possibility, if he's got this little bit of shaking going on,
mm-hmm.
that the belt could be off one little notch, okay? And it scares me because, the belts can stretch, even though that type of belt shouldn't as much, but it's an older car. I would stop right there and have that timing belt replaced. And also let's check the integrity. You know, let's pull the timing covers off and let's take a look at the cam marks. Let's make sure that it is actually aligned up in a proper manner. And if it's been that long, at the same time, they're looking at it to make sure it is, you know, we want to verify too, that the valves aren't bent or just nicked. Yeah. It could be just nicked a little bit, creating that little bit of quiver in that engine where it just hit it enough where the intake and the exhaust gases could be leaking out, creating that problem. So I would stop right there. I wouldn't drive the car. I don't necessarily, I don't know whose shop would recommend this, but I would never, especially on a vehicle that's older with miles on it and not knowing history, I would never even try to tension the timing belt. Retention the timing belt.
Yeah, I've never heard of tightening. I've heard of, I've only heard it done like this is something I've heard of, but it is way beyond anything I could even think about doing. I've heard of when you replace the timing belt, you've got to, and this is probably an older car, you've got to put a lot more tension on that tensioner arm to make sure it's tight. But I've never heard of tightening a timing belt before.
Well, and here's the problem. You know, first of all, if it's loose, that means it's stretched.
Yeah.
Even more of a reason to change it. But, you know, you have to make sure that, you rotate the engine. You have to make sure that the one piston's at top dead center. Then you have to make sure that the camshafts and the crankshafts line up. I mean, even... I'll guarantee it's off. If he retensioned to whoever had it, put tension on it and never rechecked the marks, that's his quiver. That's his quiver right there.
Okay.
And at the same time with that many miles, you replace the water pump. And of course you're going to flush the cooling system. And when you flush the cooling system, I know Brian in the shop, we always use Peak products.
Yep.
We're going to use the proper coolant antifreeze for that vehicle. And also, that has a thermostat that has a housing that's replaceable at the same time. We're going to use a Dorman thermostat and housing for that vehicle. It's time. let's not let it go.
Yeah.
And have that belt break, and have, when it does break again, it's an interference engine. The valves are going to collide with the pistons. And at that point you have a, you know, is it worth putting that kind of money in that old of a car at that time?
Yeah. And yeah. Here's my thought. And you tell me if I'm wrong about this. He says he doesn't know much about cars and he's learning to work on them. This doesn't feel like the job to start learning on to me.
No, it's not. Yeah. Especially when you get into timing belts and tensioning and what's involved. I mean, it's critical. I mean, even doing it for as long as I have, I second guess myself. Is this mark right? Is this on right? And it's always, even when you replace a timing belt and you line it up, it's not a bad idea where you rotate the engine, you know, to make sure that the lines stay aligned.
Yeah, so, that's just, it seems like it's like, I get that you want to do the repairs yourself. A lot of people are doing that, and a lot of people handier than me are doing it. But that's something that's like, especially as a first project, that's something you learn up the road. I think I would take that to somebody like you who's qualified, knows what they're doing, and knows when to second guess themselves on taking care of something to get this done right. Don't try to just figure this out myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
all. What's that saying, Brian? There's never enough time to do it right, but always enough time to do it over.
I have that tattooed on my arm, Dan. I do a lot of things over and over. That's the important part. I think it's important to tell people, yes, work on the car yourself. Do the thing that do it. You know, learn about your car. Learn to do it yourself. But be aware of your qualifications, your knowledge to know when to go, somebody has to do this for me. I can't do this myself.
You know, it's even today, you know, in the old days you used to raise the hood and you could see the battery, but today the batteries are either in the trunk, under the seat. You may have to remove a lot of components, and that's why even changing batteries. I always go to, even as a refresher, I go to autobatteries.com. There are so many videos there to show how to replace your battery in your vehicle. And especially if it's under the seat or in the trunk or in the fender, this will give you a little bit of an idea whether you want to do it or you should have a professional replace the battery in your vehicle.
Exactly. And to me, that's the most important thing, is because, and I've done this in the past, not with cars, but with other repairs, where you get halfway through the repair and realize you're out of your depth. And you've really done is you've created a mess for somebody to come in. And now instead of them just making a repair, they have to undo the damage that you did and then make the original repair. So you've basically added the price of the repair from you doing more damage to it. And to me, on a car especially, it's very important to figure out. Autobatteries.com is a great place if you're trying to replace your own battery, because it'll show you exactly how to replace the battery in your car. And a lot of them automotive parts stores will replace it for you. But I actually had one when I had my battery go out tell me, oh, no, we don't do that. That's too complicated for us. We do the simple ones. You have to take this somewhere.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's something that's simple, they can do it in a matter of minutes. But when it gets down, and, you know, when I mentioned this before, specific vehicles, one example was a 2020 Traverse. I could see the battery. It was under the hood. But it took about 30 minutes to replace that battery that I could see, because there was another a fuse box on top of that battery that all these electrical connections had to be disconnected. So be careful, because what you don't want to do is damage your electrical system not knowing what you're doing.
Exactly. And that's why I think this guy needs to take it to a shop. Let the shop work on your timing chain. Don't try to do that as your first project on a car.
Right. Timing belt, Brian.
Timing belt. I apologize. See, that's why I don't work on them, Dan.
I know.
Another great week. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
Have a great driving week ahead.
Coolant leaks can be tricky, as the cause can be any number of problems. K-Seal is a one-step permanent multi-purpose system for coolant leak repair. We recently sat down with Mike Schlupp, Managing Director of K-Seal International. Mike talked about what it means to see white smoke coming out of your exhaust.
So this is actually steam condensing as it gets burned off by the engine. You may also see blue smoke, but for a different reason. Either way, it's likely your car is suffering from head gasket failure, which may ultimately cause damage to key components like the catalytic converter, or could even overheat the engine. Now, we would recommend K-Seal Ultimate. It offers 33% more sealing power than original K-Seal. Make sure the engine is cold to avoid blowback with the cap off. Add K-Seal to the cooling system, either at the radiator or expansion tank cap opening, and then reinstall the cap and run the engine until warm.
You can find more 60-second problem solvers at kseal.com. And remember what we tell you, you don't just seal it, you K-Seal it.